All right. It's Palm Sunday, a Sunday about a victory parade. Jesus has finally come into Jerusalem. He's been up in Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee, teaching and doing miracles and all that kind of stuff. He goes up onto the Mount of Transfiguration, is transfigured. Some of his disciples see him. It's a crazy thing. He comes down off of that mountain and then is slowly making his way to Jerusalem. This is the story when he enters into Jerusalem, and it's a victory parade. The reason we read the passage from 2 Maccabees this morning. Now, 2 Maccabees is a book that most of you probably weren't familiar with growing up. It's not one that most Protestant churches read from. We ignore it, but it is enormously important. For one thing, I don't know if you caught it for sure, but it tells the story of the beginning of Hanukkah, that 8 days they celebrate in this passage. They celebrated 8 days with cheer in a manner like the Festival of Booths. That is the beginning of Hanukkah, just so as you know. This is an actual historic event that is really important. So, Alexander the Great takes over the world. Remember that from like eighth grade? Takes over the Western world. When Alexander the Great dies fairly young, he splits up his kingdom between 4 generals. One of those generals oversaw and ruled the what we now call the Middle East. Syria, Palestine. There was some fighting over Palestine, but this Seleucid guy finally won in his kingdom. One of the descendants of that general and or the king of the area is called Antiochus Epiphanes. And he was, to put it mildly, an evil man. He would probably make Hitler, they're on the same page. They're the same kind of person. The same kind of evil, Antiochus Epiphanes wanted to eliminate the Jews and the Jewish religion from the world. He did everything he could to destroy them, to kill them, to torture them, to make them recant, to force them to eat unkosher things. I mean, it was horrible. In the midst of all of that time, this guy starts a campaign against Antiochus with a small band, vastly outnumbered, technologically inferior, and they win. They defeat the evil pagan rulers, and it's victory. And this thing we read this morning, they celebrated 8 days with cheer in a manner like the Festival of the Booths, remembering how in the previous Festival of the Booths they'd been roaming about in the mountains and caverns like animals. They had been hiding like animals, and then they won. And now they get to come to Jerusalem and celebrate their victory. And so they held ivy wands and beautiful branches and palm leaves, and they made hymns. And it's exactly what we read about in the Palm Sunday passage. Exactly. It is precisely the same thing. Jesus' disciples and people in Jerusalem are coming out because victory is at hand. In fact, one of the things it says in that passage, I just put it down, otherwise I'd read it to you, is that they cleanse the temple, right? Let me show you what happens in Luke, in all of them. Jesus comes into Jerusalem, he's riding, the victory, the palm branches, the Hosanna, Lord save us, woo, this is great. He entered the city, blah, 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 da, 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 not blah, 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 pardon this. When Jesus entered the temple, he threw out those who were selling things there. He said to them, it's written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations, and you've made it a hideout for crooks. And he was daily teaching. This is the overthrowing of the temple. He cleanses the temple. This is exactly what the Maccabees did. Like, this is precisely the same story. And it is about victory and defeating those daggum pagans and killing them all. Except we know that's not true. Right, because that's not the way of God. That's not the way of Christ. We know better. We know that there's really no victory. That there's no victory over Rome. That Rome stays in power. That in 70 short years, Rome comes with a big army and destroys Jerusalem. destroys the temple and kills all kinds of people. We know that this is no victory. That was 70 years later, and the other thing we know is that in 5 days, Rome takes Jesus and nails him on a cross and tortures him and abuses him and puts him to shame. We know, in fact, that this victory prayed is no victory, because all of these things are coming. It's actually a parade marching into defeat and death. It's at this point where most preachers, me included, want to remind you that Easter's coming. I do not want us to think about Easter yet. We are in just beginning what we call Holy Week. We are marching toward the cross. It is a week that's ambiguous and weird. Is it victory? Is it death? Is it joy? Is it suffering? Is this really victory? Or is this defeat? Mary Beth, who preached here last week, is preaching at New Hope this morning. And they are going through a series on the last words of Jesus. One of those, well, the last word, is when Jesus cries out from the cross, "It is finished." Again, reminding us that it sounds very much like a week of defeat. It's finished. I'm dead. It's over. But as I was thinking about the cross and Jesus' word on the cross, "It is finished," one of the things that we have to realize is that that word, "It is finished," does not mean I am dead. It does not mean I am defeated. It means my work is done. It's like you have some big project. You're making a meal. "It is finished! We can eat now! Woohoo!" You're doing yard work. "It is finished! Yes! I don't have to cut palm branches anymore. I can bind my bruised and torn up arms. It is finished, yes." It's that kind of cry. It's, "My work is done. Thank goodness. Whew." That work is finished. And what defines the work of Jesus better than the Beatitudes? The version I'm going to read to you says, "Happy are those who..." the word there is a hard word to translate. Most of us are used to "blessed are those who..." Blessed, happy, good for you. It means that God is on your side. It means that good things are heaped upon you. It doesn't necessarily mean happy like joy, but it means God is on your side, good things for you, blessings on you. "Happy are those who are hopeless, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are those who grieve." For they will be made glad. "Happy are the humble, the meek, those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness." I always need to remind us that means insufficiently righteous. "Happy are those who show mercy. Happy are those who have pure hearts. Happy are those who make peace. Happy are those people whose lives are harassed because they are righteous. When people say all kinds of evil against you, rejoice and be glad." It is finished. The cross redefines victory. And we are not talking about Easter yet. Keep that off the burner. The cross, the suffering, this ambiguous Holy Week defines and redefines victory. So circling back to thinking about this victory parade, that was it victory? Was it defeat? It actually is a victory parade when we think of victory correctly. Because in the kingdom of God, even suffering and death are redefined as victory. As I was thinking about this morning, I got a song stuck in my head. Who out there loves Steve Taylor? Let's see the proud three of us raise our hands. Hey, two of us. All right, two of us. Two, that's not bad. Steve Taylor, yeah. If you don't know Steve Taylor, I dare you to go look him up. It's good stuff. He has this song called Jesus is for Losers. And I was thinking about the redefinition of victory. Somehow that song got stuck in my head. Here's the last little bit. Just as you are, just a wretch like me, Jesus is for losers, grace from the blood of a tree. Just as we are, at a total loss, Jesus is for losers, broken at the foot of the cross. Just as I am, pass the compass, please. Jesus is for losers. I'm off about 100 degrees. Just as I am in a desert crawl, Lord, I'm so thirsty. Take me to the waterfall. Let's not get to Easter too quickly. And here's why. Because in our lives, we might never see resurrection. We might suffer, and we might struggle, and we might die before we ever see any kind of real or metaphorical resurrection. We might be stuck in a perpetual Holy Week. We might be stuck in a perpetual Good Friday. That Good Friday might last way more than one day. It might last a lifetime. So we need to think about how this week can be redefined as victory. How the death, how the suffering is actually victory. And all I can say is that it's a claim that God makes. Those who want to save their life will lose it, Jesus says. Those who want to be first will be last. The Philippians passage says it so well. Take on the same attitude that was in Christ, who, though he was God, didn't consider being God something to exploit, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant or a slave, submitting to death, even the most terrible, humiliating death you can imagine, death on a cross. Take on that same attitude. Because that, even that is victory. Part of the really good news for us in this is that we don't often feel like we're victorious. Lots of us struggle. Lots of us feel like we can never get ahead, maybe in life, maybe through some, who knows what you struggle with, but a lot of us feel like we are always stuck. And I want to say to us this morning that the good news is that God redefines victory so that even at our lowest, when we are losers, when we're off 100 degrees, when we're crawling through the desert, when it feels and looks like utter defeat and death, God redefines that as victory. And I don't know how to make you actually feel that, but maybe if you know it, you can talk to your heart in the midst of your pain and say, even this is victory. We don't know how. I don't get it. Part of it probably has to do with an eventual Easter coming. But right now, right here, even this is victory. The way of God is turned upside down. Blessed are those who are hopeless, who are poor, who are weak, who are meek, who grieve. Blessed. Because somehow God makes even suffering and death victory. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to not only know that, but to feel it. To feel that this world and the way we've been trained to understand victory and winning is not the real way of the world. It's an artificial thing that we've built and put up. God, change our hearts and our minds. That we might embrace the cross and the suffering, the ambiguous, messy week of Holy Week, and understand and feel that even that is victory. That's going to take a lot of work. God, it's going to take a lot of prayer. It's going to take your Holy Spirit working in us and through us, and we ask that you do that. We ask that you do that, that we might live in the world in a new way, with new vision. And all of this, that we might give you glory. Amen.